Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome into The Scoop, the premier UNC football recruiting podcast, brought to you by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. As always, a part of the Inside Carolina Podcast Network. I am joined, as always, by Don, Donnie Scoops Callahan. What's going on, Don?
Not too much. I have breaking news.
Okay.
That you don't even know about.
Okay.
Here we go. All right. So I set Inside Carolina history a few weekends ago. The weekend prior to when we were supposed to record, and we decided to delay it a couple weeks, I became the first Inside Carolina employee to have a meal at Buck Sanders' house.
Wow. Holy moly. How'd that go?
Really well. Buck actually cooked our steaks, and my wife came with me. And Mrs. Buck, she of course was very hospitable with, a salad spread, as far like a salad bar sort of set up, and then also kind of like a bar sort of set up for our baked potatoes. It was very delicious. Adult beverages were involved. It was nice hanging out and conversing with, Buck, the almighty and powerful and intelligent Buck Sanders.
What was the occasion? How did this come about?
I think it was just because I'm a really good employee.
Okay.
I think it's as simple as that. And I think that I'm starting to kind of see this puzzle kind of coming together of what the totem pole at Inside Carolina looks like. And I feel like I'm pretty high up there.
Okay, you know? What's the totem pole?
Well, just the importance level. You know, and I think I'm pretty high up there. And I think below me is unfortunately you, Ross, and Greg. And I think Tommy is so far below me that I don't even see him down there. But yeah, you know.
Okay. Great. Maybe we'll get into that more at the end. We have a huge show for you today. It's been over 4 weeks, I think, since we last talked on a lot of basketball news. Obviously a new head coach for basketball, then a bunch of recruiting stuff and Walker Kessler stuff. And so we kind of put the scoop on the back burner for the last time we were supposed to record. So we're catching up to you now 4 weeks later. We have a bunch of stuff. There hasn't been much news, but there are some developments. The spring game is this Saturday. With that comes a lot of recruiting, even though it's still it's not really official or unofficial visits. It's just players coming to the spring game. We're going to get into all those names, or at least mention some of the top names. We're going to talk about Dre Bly and some of his recruiting and going after some big time defensive back targets. Then we're going to get into the top five, which is discussing top spring game storylines, which would be a kind of a good intro and preview of the spring game for those wanting their football fix. We'll get Don's perspective on some UNC team stuff. But first, I want to make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the Inside Carolina podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. There's a bunch of other ones. Give us a rating, a five-star rating. Give us a little review, hopefully good, and then hit subscribe. That really helps us provide these podcasts for you, helps the algorithm, and helps us bring these podcasts to you. And remember, Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. We'll get into more of that later. All right, Don. You want to talk about the spring game visitors. You dropped a scoop, believe on Tuesday. We're recording this on Wednesday morning. The scoop, your weekly scoop, provided a list of all the names that you know that are coming to the spring game. Spring game kicks off 3 p.m. in Keyan Stadium on Saturday. Let's get into it. Kind of who are the headliners that are coming to Carolina and get into what that means and the stats of their recruitments.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, there is, I counted over two dozen recruits who UNC has actually offered are, have told me personally, or some sources told me, most of them have told me personally that they intend on being in Keenan Stadium on Saturday. And then I was also, I haven't counted up the list, but we're talking about probably about over 50 guys. The majority of them have offers somewhere who are going to be in Keenan Stadium. So this is huge. I mean, I know that anything seems big because we haven't had any real recruiting events in a very long time, but I feel like even during a non-pandemic time, this is one of the bigger lists. The only thing that kind of matches it is maybe a Showtime camp or the Fedora's Freak Show camp that happened before Mac Brown became coach. But
and so they can't have any interaction, just to be clear, they can't have any interaction with the staff or anything. They're just going, essentially going to the game and visiting Chapel Hill, correct?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. It's actually very strict. I'm sure there's going to be compliance down there to make sure none of this happens. But you can't even, while they're on UNC's campus, and I think actually when they're en route, but I'm not sure about that part, but while they're on campus, they can't call a coach. If they call a coach can't answer their phone calls. Now, if they're home
on campus.
Yeah, when they're on campus, because it's a dead period. And everybody's like, oh, this is stupid. Why are they doing this? Yada, yada. But I think what they're trying to do, the NCAA, is trying to keep the dead period actually dead, which right now isn't that big of a deal because no one has taken any visits. But in, you know, in Christmas time and in July when the coach is on vacation, they're trying to ease the load on those guys. And so this is just to kind of keep it the dead period pure, basically. But as you mentioned, the Weekly Scoop, we did a little preview. I pulled out, I don't know, half dozen or so of the bigger storylines from the expected visitors and highlighted their situations, you know, and so you can see all of that. You can see the complete list that we've confirmed. And, you know, I'm adding names as I confirm them heading up to, I don't expect to add too many names, maybe a name here or there heading into Saturday. But, you know, what the biggest name, obviously, is the second best athlete to come out of Grimsley High School, Travis Shaw, a five-star defensive tackle. Do you know who the first best athlete, number one best athlete to come out of Grimsley High School is?
The red snapper.
Who's the red snapper?
He's the athletic director there. He played at Carolina. I forget.
He's a swimmer.
Oh, is that me?
That's you.
Yeah, I was far from early death. Ethan Albright's a red snapper.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes,
yeah. Big guy, red hair. He was a tight end offensive lineman at UNC.
Yeah.
He was a long snapper in the NFL. He's defensive coordinator at, he's the athletic director at Grimsley after playing in the NFL for like 16 years.
Yes. I am well aware. And I just had a brain fart, I guess, because I actually talked to him because UNC recruited his son a little bit. His son ended up at, Northwestern. Yeah.
Great. Ethan Albright's a great guy.
Yes. Very, very, very helpful. So Travis Shaw, big time to get him on campus. You know, I don't think his recruitment is going to move much from this visit. I think we're going to see much more movement with him during the summer and even into the fall when he's taking visits to all these different schools. I don't even think that we know exactly what the true competition. We know Clemson's going to be the competition. North Carolina obviously is going to be a strong player in this recruitment, but we don't know who else is going to emerge as a contender, and we won't know that until he starts taking some visits. But it's good that prior to the opening of the recruiting calendar that Travis Shaw makes yet another visit to Chapel Hill.
Yeah, and if you read in the scoop, you can get with a premium subscription inside Carolina, it kind of breaks down a little bit of his recruitment, how he's focused on his high school playoffs right now, and you know he's going to take official visits later in the summer and fall. Clemson, Carolina, clearly the the leaders right now for the 6'5", 310-pound defensive tackle from Grimsley. Is this a situation where he takes official visits in the summer or in the fall, or is there any timeline kind of set now? This is the biggest guy. I mean, this is the biggest recruit for this class, obviously.
Yes.
And, this is a big focus for this podcast moving forward.
Yes. Yeah, so all these schools are going to wait for him. Even Clemson, who historically does not wait for many recruits, they're going to wait it out for him. And I guess he gets the sense that that's the case because there's definitely no urgency in his plans. So maybe he takes some official visits during the summer, but I would not be shocked to see him wait until the fall and after the season to take his official visits and make a decision on National Signing Day in February. I mean, that's just his sort of mentality. But obviously, he will take some sort of visits in the summer. My guess, and this is just talking to his coach, we're talking to him, but no one seems to have like a firm grip on a plan. But my guess is he'll take a bunch of unofficial visits in the summer, get a better idea of who he wants to officially visit, and take those visits in the during the season.
Damn, so it's going to be a long wait to figure out where Shaw goes. This guy is massive. I mean, yes. I have buddies who go. I have one good friend who is involved at Page Athletics, so he goes to games and is kind of inside with the Greensboro High School deal. I mean, he is so big. He's very athletic for his size. I mean, this is an elite, elite defensive tackle who's a game-changing recruit, I think, for anyone who gets him.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably the best prospect since Dexter Lawrence came out of North Carolina, who ended up going to Clemson also.
Yeah. All right. What are some more names? We'll kind of breeze through the next couple of names that are coming to the spring game.
I mean, the incredible thing is if you actually look at Inside Carolina's recruiting board, so many of those names are visiting. And that includes, as of right now, three of UNC's four outstanding running back offers plan to visit. The lone one who hasn't confirmed attendance is Damari Alston. And he's kind of figuring out the transportation situation, and if he can figure it out, he also will visit. But the three who will definitely be there, who plan on being there, Amarion Hampton, George Pettaway, and Michael Allen. All three are four-star running backs. Two, Hampton and Allen, are in-state guys, and George Pettaway is essentially an in-state guy because he's from the Tidewater area, which North Carolina has had a lot of success in the last couple of classes.
Are these the top three targets for UNC at running back?
These three plus Alston are the four that UNC has offered.
Okay. Do you think anybody commits this weekend?
I don't.
Okay.
And
because there's not interaction with the staff.
Yeah,
right?
So I just don't know how that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the only scenario is if someone goes and just absolutely falls in love and then, goes back home and then Sunday gives a phone call to the coaches to say, hey, I've seen enough. I don't know if anyone does that. And then you also have the recruiting calendar opening up on the horizon. So you might as well kind of, take your officials and take additional visits to other places. But I just, without the interaction, I mean, they're literally just going to a game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
These
spots are going to fill up, though. That's interesting to see when things start popping. It's going to start popping because there's going to be less. Is it still kind of the path where they're going to be able to not take as many people just because of the scholarship situation?
Yeah, I have not received any information to tell me that they expect the class to be any bigger than what we were initially told.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to get smaller. Let's say that I could see it being a little bit bigger than what they initially anticipated, but I think they're going to be careful unless they get some sort of word from the NCAA that things are going to, that they're going to give some sort of relief for future rosters with the scholarship stuff, which we got into a couple podcasts ago. And I don't think the NCAA is going to do that. And if they do, they're not going to do that anytime soon. I mean, they drag their feet with everything and they don't come out with information until the very last minute. So I just don't think they're going to have the information in time to do anything.
Okay. Who are some other names that are going to be there that you want to share with us?
The last two names that I wanted to mention, and again, we highlighted a bunch of different names and went in-depth on their recruitments and just what sort of impact this spring game visit will have on some guys. And there's some other ones that we haven't mentioned that are impactful for this class. But the two other ones I wanted to mention, and they have the same position. They both are four-star guys. One has visited North Carolina a bunch, which is Shalik Knotts. The other one has not visited North Carolina or any school outside of his home state of Virginia in Andre Green. Mm-hmm. So for different situations. Green, this is going to be his first, UNC's first chance to impress him. And I think this will help kind of set the stage a little bit for his recruitment. He has probably the most open recruitment that you'll find for a blue chip kid in the nation. He's just completely wide open, hasn't taken any visits. He's a high academic kid, spends a lot of time on his academics. He goes to a very academically competitive school in St. Christopher's in Richmond. He also plays multiple sports, always training, very, very busy kid, definitely talks to the coaches, does the virtual visit stuff and all of that, but just does not have a grasp on his recruitment. So this is a great opportunity for North Carolina to kind of make a good first impression with its game day atmosphere. The other guy, Shalik Knotts, another four-star wide receiver from Monroe, which is just outside of Charlotte. The actual game for me, and I highlighted this in the preview, I don't think it's going to make that much of an impact because he's been in North Carolina countless times. I think what's going to be key is he has a bunch of friends on UNC's roster. So, and I'm making a little bit of a, I guess, an assumption here. I'm assuming that, hey, you're in Chapel Hill. You're going to go hit up your cousin, Gavin Blackwell. You're going to go spend some time with Drake May, who you know really well from your days at the Carolina Stars. And you're going to hang out with a bunch of those other Charlotte area guys that you've trained with, that you played with the Carolina Stars, you know, following the spring game. Maybe you spend the night with one of those guys in their dorm, which I believe is legal.
You should be able to just visit a friend, right? Like any other friend.
I think
friend.
So.
I mean,
I think
it's no different than like a random person visiting their friend.
I think so, but I'm definitely not an expert on the NCAA rules. Yeah. So I don't want to say definitively, but yeah. So my expectations are that he stays on campus and hangs out with his buddies. And that's only going to help North Carolina's chances with him.
No other school
can provide that for him when he visits. He's definitely interested in a bunch of other schools like Penn State. He's mentioned Tennessee. He has an official visit set up with Maryland, but none of the schools can march out a bunch of, you know, his close friends.
Yeah. I mean, if you're freaking Maryland compared to UNC, that's just, especially if you're,
that was one of the more surprising
things
because, well, I think the thing with him, he's probably going to wait until his season to take officials. And for Maryland, you just want to lock in a spot and get him in as soon as possible. That's your only shot. Because if you wait until he starts actually taking official visits, you're not going to get one of those seats.
Shaquil Knotts. If you haven't listened to our breakdown of the top 10 targets Don put together, it's a podcast, gosh, maybe three or four podcasts ago, go through the feed. It gives you a great perspective on UNC's top 10 targets, remaining targets in the 2022 class. I would recommend going back and listening to that if you're big into UNC football recruiting, because it gives you a profile of all these guys we're talking about. Travis Shaw, Shaquil Knotts, these running backs that he mentioned, Don just mentioned, Petaway, Marron Hampton, Andre Green, wide receiver. So make sure to go back and listen to that. Shaquil Knotts is a highly ranked kid, 87 overall, number 11 wide receiver from the state of North Carolina. And as Don mentioned, very close with a lot of UNC's current players. Okay, is that all you're going to give us on the visitor side,
yeah,
Don?
Yeah, I mean – that's probably more than what I should have, to be honest.
So yeah, check out the scoop. I mean, guys, if you're not subscribed to South Carolina, and I imagine a lot of people listening are, it's just unbelievable what you get out of it, just from a recruiting perspective from Don, and then the team stuff that Greg and I provide. There's a question, a Q&A for both of us, Don, Greg, and I, on the message board.
I just answered a bunch of questions while I was waiting for Ross to get on here.
There you go. And you get, you know, all these different profiles and recruiting. And then when these recruitments kind of intensify, you get tons of scoop, especially when things open up with visits. I mean, you got all the updates coming in. And if you're not on the board, you kind of miss that. The board is where it goes down with kind of the intel. What's so funny?
Just the message board with the posters.
It's been crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's been crazy, especially with basketball. The power of IC really flexed during this basketball coaching search and recruiting stuff. All right, guys, that wraps up the spring game kind of talk in terms of the recruiting side of it. We're going to talk about Johnny T-shirt here in a bit. And when we get back, we're going to talk about Dre Bly, two targets he's recruiting heavily for UNC, some elite cornerbacks. Then we're going to get into some spring game storylines and introduce the new top five. First, I'll talk to you about Johnny T-shirt and JohnnyT-shirt.com, your one-stop shop for everything UNC apparel related, right on Franklin Street and online at JohnnyT-shirt.com. It's a locally owned, alumni-owned place with all the gear you need. You got baseball jerseys, hats, shirts, long sleeves, water bottles. I'm on the website right now checking it out. Always have sales, always trying to move gear. Go to Johnny T-shirt on Franklin Street or JohnnyT-shirt.com. Use the 10% off discount code that Inside Carolina subscribers get to get 10% off your entire purchase. We've got Mother's Day coming up. We got birthdays. We got a lot of holidays in the summer, kind of the casual holidays coming up in the summer. Go to Giant T-Shirt and get your gear. It's great for little gifts for nieces and nephews, for your kids, for your parents. Johnny T-Shirt, johnnytshirt.com. You supporting them really helps us do this podcast and helps us get this information out to you. We're going to let national ads come into play here. We'll be right back with some more Scoop talk.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, we're back, Don. What's going on, man?
Not much.
Hey, what'd you miss most about not doing the podcast over the last 4 weeks?
Your candor, you know, I mean, I know that you're always going to give it to me straight. And I missed hearing about your girl troubles.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to talk about that though.
Girl troubles. We'll see about that. Okay. Can't get off topic too much.
Dave's
get restless. All right, so let's go Dre Bly. All right, so you sent me these two names, and I definitely read the articles when they were posted. About Dalen Everett and Jaden Lucas. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the one that's posted. Go ahead. Which one do you want to start with?
Yeah, let's talk about the one that we posted a week ago.
Okay. Everett.
Yeah, Everett.
Okay, so hang on. Let me break him down real quick. Dalen Everett is a he plays at IMG Academy. He's from Norfolk, Virginia. He is a – bring his profile right now. I apologize for the – delay. Number 40 in the nation, number 7 cornerback. He's playing high school ball in Florida, but he's from the Norfolk, Virginia area. You look at his profile picture, dude looks ready to go. 6 foot, 180 pounds. This is an elite recruit. This is a high 4-star. All the big offers, Alabama, Florida State, Clemson, Georgia, North Carolina, to just name a few. What's going on with him and what's going on with him and Dre Bly?
Yeah, first I want to give a shout out to Steve Wilfong. Steve and a couple other 24/7 sports guys, they went down to IMG's, I don't know if it was a spring game or just some practices or whatever, and had some really good tidbits and kind of reconfirmed what we posted a week ago. But it also confirmed to me just some stuff I was hearing about Everett as far as just how focused this kid is, both in the classroom and on the football field. Just a kid who just has his eye on the prize and is doing everything necessary to reach that prize. And also he's a 4-star guy, but he's the number 40 in the nation, which means he's only 8 spots away mm-hmm. from being a 5-star. So this is I think it does him an injustice to just say a 4-star guy, because I mean, this is a borderline 5-star guy who could bump into a 5-star at any point just because of his talent level. But mm-hmm. as far as North Carolina is concerned, he actually, this is all in the story, he attended Clemson's spring game, I guess it was earlier this month, And while he's heading home, and he's heading to his actual home, not IMG, him and his father, they drive right along Interstate 40, and they see the signs for Chapel Hill, and they say, hey, might as well, we have some extra time. Let's drive around a little bit. Let's give our good friend Tony Grimes a call and see what he's up to. And Tony, of course, obliged and was kind of like a tour guide a little bit, showed him some of the hot spots, that sort of thing. And then they went home. They didn't spend a whole lot of time on campus, but I think it's significant to kind of that the fact that they wanted to get a grasp on things. He's basically down to four schools, Clemson, Georgia, North Carolina, and I can't remember the fifth school, if it was Ohio State or whoever it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of people think Clemson. I think North Carolina is a good shot here. I think Dre Bly has done a tremendous job with connecting with both Dalen and his father. And I think he's put North Carolina in a great spot to eventually end this commitment. He's another one of those guys. He's going to take his official visits in June and then make a decision shortly thereafter. He does not want to take his recruitment into the summer. And that's something that IMG kind of pushes their kids, doesn't require, but pushes their kids to get their recruitment done before the season so they could just focus on the season. Cause they're after like national championship sort of stuff at IMG.
Interesting. So, I mean, and UNC already has one cornerback committed.
Taywan Holloway. Yep.
And we're talking about two cornerbacks with Dalen Everett and
Jaden
Lucas. So how many are they going to take? Two?
Well, the position objective is two.
Okay.
But you're not turning away Jaden. I mean, these are like,
if both want to come, they're both coming.
Yeah. I mean, these are like the elite of the elite. These are, you know, Jaden Lucas, we'll talk about in a second, is a five-star guy. As I mentioned, mm-hmm. Everett is just below a five-star. So, I mean, these are elite guys, and you try to figure things out. But, yeah, it does seem like it will project to get a little messy with them.
For sure. And Clemson's, like, leading for both these guys here. What was I going to say? I'm not sure where I was going to take that one. I mean – so you think they're – we'll get into the Lucas in a bit, but with Everett, you think UNC is pretty securely in his top group now?
Yeah, I think North Carolina is definitely securely in. I think they have a real chance to potentially pull up the upset just because, I mean, where this kid's from.
Yeah,
and exactly. And the fact that, his father knows Dre Bly really well. I think his father played football himself in the area. I believe it was like maybe after Dre. And so, you know how that those things are. I mean, Dre was the guy coming up. So knows Dre and that sort of thing. I think North Carolina is a great shot.
Do you, when these kids go to IMG, like how much does that cost to go down there? Or is it scholarship based or what?
I don't know the answer. I would love to kind of look into that. The thing is that really, if you look at it, North Carolina hasn't had a whole lot of success with IMG guys. This is the one that really UNC has like a legit shot. A lot of times, and even in this situation, a lot of times UNC might have a good shot at a kid and then he goes to IMG, and it's not IMG doesn't like North Carolina or anything like that, but it's just a completely different situation and environment, and UNC just seems to kind of lose ground. And that initially happened in this recruitment, and Dalen kind of admitted to that he liked North Carolina, was interested in North Carolina. He left to go to IMG, and then North Carolina just fell off. And it took Dre kind of getting things back on the tracks. And this only happened a month or two ago for North Carolina to get really back into this race.
I wonder when you're down there, I mean, obviously you're closer to a lot of the Florida schools, you're closer to a lot of the SEC schools, but also there's probably coaching staffs in college that have good relationships with the coaches at IMG. And if you're in with one of those coaches, you have a huge head up because it's such a collection of talent in one place where you got to be close to those coaching staffs and that program to really get in. I think UNC had a basketball player who played there for one season.
Well, I think the thing too is that it's really outside of North Carolina's recruiting footprint.
Yeah. Have you been down there?
Not down to IMG, but I mean, I've been to Florida. I haven't been to Bradenton or anything like that.
Yeah.
Have you been down there?
I've not been to IMG. I've been to Florida.
Yeah. We're talking about going on vacation in Florida. Potentially. Yeah,
that's where you always go.
We went last year, but that was like to see my father-in-law lives down in Daytona Beach. But we're considering actually doing like a vacation by ourselves, maybe Keys, maybe Miami, but we're also talking about some other areas too. But Florida's definitely on the table.
Oh, so IMG is down south of Tampa by Long Boat Key and Siesta Key. It's on the water pretty much. I mean, it's down there right close to the water. Man, Florida's crazy. I was down in Florida a couple weeks ago.
Really? Where at?
Delray Beach, which is north of Fort Lauderdale.
Wow. Did you drive down there or fly?
Flew down, drove back.
Oh, why'd you do that?
Complicated love story.
I love complicated love stories.
Nah, I flew down and we drove someone's car back.
Gotcha. Okay.
Dude, Florida's crazy though. It's like, I mean, if you want to get into it here on the podcast, the weather's unbelievable, especially in the spring and fall, I imagine.
I feel like it's a little too hot and humid for me, but
in the summer, but I mean, you're talking about February, March, April, May. It's unbelievable. It's so sunny.
Yeah, it's definitely sunny. But I remember going down there for William Barnes and Edmund Tillis's announcement. And then the next day after signing day, I met back up with them and we filmed a video interview sort of thing. And I was sweating like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly hot. But then you get that up here too in July, August, September up here.
This is February. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of sweating.
I think you get used to it too. If you like live down there, you get used to it. I mean, would you rather be, and this is a great question for everybody. Would you rather be really hot or really cold?
I am definitely in favor of being really cold. Okay. I am like right now, the past week has been awesome because I've been leaving my windows open and everything. I wake up in the middle of the night and it's like freezing. I run to the bathroom and I can't wait to run back to my bed. I love that.
Get underneath the sheets.
Do what?
Get underneath the sheets in your bed.
Oh, I thought you said something else. Yes, get underneath the sheets to get warm.
Yeah. what's crazy about Florida, I mean, this is becoming the Florida podcast. There's so much water. I mean, the whole state is bordered by water.
Yeah.
It's a peninsula.
That's right. Very good.
I think it's beautiful down there. I mean, it's also very crazy and weird.
Yeah, I mean,
there's tons of weirdos, and like you got the really country part, you got the really kind of New Yorky part down in Miami. There's just a lot of different.
Well, yeah,
so
Miami
big too.
Is,
it's a long state. It's a long.
Miami
peninsula.
is an interesting city in itself.
Oh yeah, and not just Miami. I mean, you got all the different areas there too.
Yeah.
That associated with like Hollywood Beach, Miami Beach, Miami Gardens. It's just crazy. Yeah. I went down to the Keys once. Keys are beautiful.
Did you?
Yeah, it's so tropical down there.
I have not been to Keys. That's something we're considering, but we'll see.
Yeah, fly to Miami, rent a car, and then drive all on the Keys, stay in one of the Keys, and go down to Key West. Key West is kind of like a big party town. It's like New Orleans, like a smaller New Orleans.
Gotcha. New Orleans is what we're considering also, but.
Damn, look at you, big traveling. All right,
We're only going to go to one place. It's just a matter of where. We haven't figured it out.
You know where, you know what's crazy is like Havana, Cuba, and the Bahamas are so close to Miami too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just nuts. Like, if you were down there, you're in the tropics.
Yeah. We should send you to Cuba.
I mean, I've heard Cuba's great. I mean, it's also very poor, so it depends on where you go. But,
yeah.
I mean, I think.
Are we allowed to go to Cuba, though?
I think there's some more laxed restrictions now than there used to be.
Gotcha.
Opened up a little bit more. I don't know the whole politics there. I do not want to get into politics.
We don't
want
to talk politics.
So I will completely stop regarding Cuba and American politics and Cold War politics.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get back on track here, boys and girls.
Move on to Jaden Lucas.
Jaden Lucas. All right. Jaden Lucas, you wrote an article about him. I think it's still on the front page. Top 40 prospect. He's ranked number 36 in the nation, number 6 cornerback, number 1 prospect in the state of South Carolina. 6'2", which is great size for a corner, 185. What's going on with him, Don?
So my coverage of him, I actually went to one of his workouts because he doesn't do interviews. He doesn't like the whole recruiting process. He doesn't like to be interviewed. Super nice kid, really well-spoken. Because usually when a kid doesn't like doing interviews, you get a kid who's super quiet, says just a couple words and that's it. He actually was really thoughtful with his responses and gave me a lot of really good information. There's a couple things I took out of my trip down there, but the one thing was, and I made the mistake of kind of falling for some of the, I guess, message board myths that are out there about Jaden Lucas in particular, was that he's from this family of Clemson fans, diehard Clemson fans, yada, yada. He's in Malden, which is very close to Clemson. Big Clemson, pro Clemson area. When you're driving through it, on, what is that? Is that 20 or 26? I always get this confused. But anyway, when you're driving along there, I mean, you see a bunch of Clemson stuff. But anyway, so when I'm coming up, his dad shoots me a text message because we're meeting at a just random park. And he says, well, look for my car. I have Pittsburgh Steeler sticker and a Penn State sticker on the back. So I'm like, this doesn't sound like a diehard Clemson fan. So when I was talking to him, the dad actually is, and this is all in my scoop, but the dad was is actually from Western Pennsylvania. And there's no real Clemson influence from his family, which I think obviously is positive information for North Carolina's chances. Even with all that said, I mean, this kid's visited Clemson a bunch of times and, you know, it's just hard to see him go anywhere but Clemson. But taking it back to our original topic, Dre Bly is doing an unbelievable job. If UNC lands this kid, which would be an absolutely huge upset, it will be because of Dre Bly and Dre Bly's reputation, Dre Bly's relationship that he's able to develop with Jaden and his parents. And then also Dre Bly's resume as a cornerback developer with Stephon Gilmore, who after working out with Dre Bly for a summer won, I think it was the NFL Defensive Player of the Year award with the Patriots. And then also what he did with Tony Grimes, turning a kid who, as every TV broadcaster who has ever covered a UNC game has said, he was supposed to be a senior in high school last year, but yet was starting for North Carolina. And a lot of that, I mean, obviously Tony, you know, we talked about Tony a bunch in the podcast last year. I mean, Tony was as ready as you get, but you know, Bly helped him kind of, you know, get to where he needed to be to actually start.
So, I mean, this is a great example of Daylon Everett and Jaden Lucas. It shows you what one big recruit can kind of do to change recruiting landscape. Landing Tony Grimes, who was a top 10 kid before he reclassified, just kind of announces your presence and the ability to recruit these five-star guys, recruit these elite talents. The fact that he played, had some success, and is kind of slotted as a starter heading into 2021, you know, players and coaches see that, they know that, they're informed of that by the recruiting coaches, and that kind of changes the level in which you can recruit. And you're seeing that now with Dre Bly. Is this just a factor with Dre Bly's recruiting that he is just super active, super personable, very charismatic? Is that what it is? He's on you. He's you know how his personality is. He's I don't know if hyper is the right word, but he's a very energetic, go-getter type guy.
Well, yeah. Well, he's confident. But it's not like a
smooth.
Yes, smooth. Smooth is a good word because it's not like a, you know, cocky, I hate that guy because he's so confident sort of thing. You know, it's just he is a confident. But I think one of the things you mentioned, just to go back to what you just said like a couple seconds ago, the Tony Grimes thing, it's hard to be the first one. You know what I mean? It's hard to be that first five-star cornerback to commit to North Carolina. And so when Tony breaks that barrier, it makes it easier for guys like Jaden Lucas and then also Daylon Everett to say, hey, you know, okay, it's acceptable. It's okay to do this sort of thing. But as far as with going back to your initial question, I think Dre, he relates to these kids. I think with Everett, it's a little bit different because Dre is such a huge name in that area. And you actually have to be in the area and be at different football events to kind of get a feel for it, to see what it really means. But I mean, a lot of these parents, they, like I said, with Daylon's dad, you know, they played against Dre Bly or came up after him or knew of Dre Bly when they're growing up, because it's just such a tight knit community. And it's just like a family thing where, you know, you play, then your son plays and then his son plays and so on and so forth. So, so that's where it is with that. But I think with Jaden has no idea or had no idea who Dre Bly is, which for me is kind of shocking, but it makes sense when you consider the fact that Dre Bly, when he retired, I think I went and looked and Jaylen was like 5 years old. So that makes sense. Okay. But it definitely, his dad is definitely like, whoa, Dre Bly, his DB trainer is definitely like Dre Bly. You know, that name resonates. And when you're talking to him and Dre Bly can say, this is what I do, this is what I did, look at this, look at this, it, you know, it connects. There's proof in what he's saying that he can do.
And look, they got Tony Grimes, the five-star cornerback. You know, Sam Howell was kind of that same level of recruit where you can get a top-notch guy. He was definitely a four-star and has had great success, an elite quarterback. So you have that quarterback, cornerback, you know, defensive lineman. They got some big names last year with Keyshawn Silver and Javari Ritzy. Travis Shaw would be that kind of that elite five-star that kind of break the seal on defensive line. And then they're going after two offensive tackles, or at least one with Rice that could kind of open the door on the five stars for the offensive line. And I think you'll see a little bit more success with running back too, with the two NFL draft picks coming up as well.
I feel like the elephant in the room with all this that we haven't truly touched on is Clemson. If North Carolina lands in this guys, any of these guys, it will be breaking a trend that Clemson has had for several classes where it has won. I need to look back. I mean, the last time North Carolina has beaten Clemson for a recruit, because I feel like it's been a long time.
Did they not beat someone in the last class? I mean, Clemson definitely wanted Grimes, right?
Yeah, I guess you could say Grimes.
Let me look at this class here.
I think the thing with why I would, if someone were to say they beat him for Grimes, I would not put up a huge argument. I guess why I personally would disqualify Grimes is because Clemson really, really dropped the ball early on.
Yeah, Clemson wasn't in the running late.
Towards the end, yeah. I mean, they weren't a factor towards the end.
Yeah.
Clemson had moved on very quickly. I'm talking like Zion Patterson, they both wanted and battled it out for with last class. Will Shipley, you know,
I mean, you could say like they beat Alabama for Drake May.
And yeah.
Keyshawn Silver and Javari Ritzy. Rod Dilworth. Yeah. Those are all in-state guys. It's a little bit different there. I think what you're saying a South Carolina guy or a Virginia guy who Clemson's prioritizing, that UNC comes in and swoops in and gets him.
Yeah, and I don't want to talk about Alabama because they recruit differently. Clemson's more zeroed in on the recruiting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I can see Tony Grimes. But yeah, I mean, I think a head-to-head battle that towards the very end, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Just a little recruiting talk here, a little recruiting and ball talk, just staying on topic, talking ball, talking recruiting with Don
Callahan. No politics.
No politics.
No talking about thirsting for women.
All right, we'll move on here to the next topic, which is our top five spring game storylines. Don, this was a top five, so we took some submissions here. Looks like we got four or five. Let's go through them. I'll start with
Did we give our new one?
Yeah, new top five is going to be top five Southern foods. Don was a little against this one. That's because he's not from the South.
I'm going to have my wife fill out mine. So
I saw a cool little thing the Panthers did, Carolina Panthers did with Sam Darnold. They had him try different Southern foods. And that just got me thinking, you know, what are the top five, the elite Southern foods that when people are getting Southern food, they think about? This can be anything that you consider Southern food. And we'd love a little explanation of maybe why you like it so much or why you consider it your top five.
Especially if it's like a family thing, like a family tradition or whatever.
Yeah. There's definitely some weirder foods out there that I think different families eat. I grew up in the South. My dad's from Tennessee. My grandmother's from small town South Carolina. So I grew up on Southern food my whole life. So I definitely have good perspective on this. Whereas Don may need to. Don, you don't like mac and cheese.
Educated.
You don't like.
I like mac and cheese.
You don't like barbecue. I mean, come on.
I love barbecue, but if you're talking about stuff with vegetables and stuff,
you don't like vegetables in general. So
And I'm not like a big fried chicken person either.
Yeah, some of these foods like mac and cheese, fried chicken, I think kind of crosses regional bounds.
Yes. Boundaries. Yes, I agree.
All right, let's get into it. Top five spring storylines.
Mac and cheese is Southern.
I think it's included there, but I think it's not.
I had never had barbecue until I moved down here, and I absolutely love barbecue. Especially, I hate coleslaw, but I love coleslaw on barbecue.
There you go.
And I didn't even know. I took a bite out of it. I was like, whoa, this is heavenly.
Save it for the next podcast. All right, top five spring storylines. We'll do a little conversation here because, you know, I haven't got a chance too much to talk about spring football. And we'd love to hear, you know, Don's questions or takes on some of these things as well.
I'm going to have a lot more questions than takes because.
All right, Noah from Korea. His storyline's backup QB. I'm not going to read everything here, but he thinks that's an important storyline. Interesting to see what happens at backup QB. we're hoping we can control enough games that the QB2 can get some quality reps to prepare for when Howell's assumed departure after this year. Depth in the front seven is number four. Sounds like Bateman's excited for what he sees. There's definitely a lot of talent behind Gimel and Eugene Asante. What the real elite teams have that we haven't in past years is a two deep where there's not a lot of huge drop-off between the starters and backups. We're getting there. When we do, UNC's defense will be elite. Number three from Noah. Was the O-line good, or was Javonte and Michael Carter that good? Seems like the O-line played well, but we had so much talent at running back. It might have just been this will be more of an accurate test of the O-line. With Howell, the young talent that should emerge, our wide receiver and veteran leadership with Walston and Corrales. If the O-line can be dominant, that was a little weird phrasing. If the O-line can be dominant this year, the rest will take care of itself. So basically, is the O-line, can it be very, very good, you know, to great this year? Number two, sophomores taking the next step. We saw flashes from guys like Des Evans, Tony Grimes, and Josh Downs. Were they just flashing this year? If they were just flashing this year, that would be a disappointment. I hope they, especially Grimes and Downs, can be game changers this year. So the development of sophomores in 2021. And number one, the running back rotation. I'm hoping a couple guys step up and take the reins. Based on the buzz, it seems like Ty Chandler and Caleb Hood. But whoever it is, just hope a couple step up so we don't have a confusing jumble of five to six guys who are pretty good, but none that can carry the load. So a running back rotation one. You want to read Dale, Don?
I'll read Dale. We probably should read all of them because there's not that many.
Okay.
Dale, number five, overall depth and talent of defense and how it will allow the mad scientists and Bateman to emerge. Number four, return of all five offensive line starters and how they'll protect Sam as he goes forward to the Heisman. Number three, size, talent, and youth of the D-line. Number two, staff continuity and UNC's commitment to football with new long-term deals in place.
A little broader ideas there.
Yeah. And number one, start of Sam Howell's Heisman campaign.
That's an interesting storyline for sure. How does he handle the pressure?
Yeah, I like Dale's thoughts there, his direction.
Dale from Waxhaw, a regular contributor. All right, Brent from Gilbert, Arizona. Or is it Gilbert Brent from Arizona?
I think it's Gilbert, Arizona, but hey.
All right, no particular order, just labeled 1 through 5. One, competition for backup QB spot. Two, running back depth chart. Three, the Choffrey Brown injury and wide receiver depth chart if he misses time. Excuse me. Four, defensive line development and depth. And five, the recruiting dead period extensions. Okay, a little recruiting line there.
So is Preston, is that your brother? Do you have a brother named Preston?
I do not.
All right.
One brother.
His name's not Preston. Are you sure?
No.
What's his name?
John.
Is his middle name Preston?
Nope.
All right. I'm going to say Preston for you because I think it might be a brother or cousin of yours. Although we have another Greensboro guy, Locke. So I'll do Locke. Number five, which young D-line player is going to earn playing time? Again, there are only so many snaps to go around. Number four, need to create separation at outside linebacker. Lots of bodies, but realistically, there are only so many snaps to go around. Number three, what is our top three running backs? Lots of bodies, very little experience. Seems like we need an every down back as well as someone for short yardage. Number two, can we develop a backup? C. Seems like we have
backup a center.
Backup center.
Come on. You can do that, Don.
My bad. Seems like we have a big need to develop a backup here. Will it be Beattie, someone else? Number one, working out a crowded, defensive backfield. Lots of talented and experienced bodies. So who wins out?
Hey, what do you think about AJ Beattie going to center?
So every time I comment on AJ Beattie, I get in trouble because I think a family member of his is a subscriber. But when he was a recruit, he obviously had size. I thought he was athletic. I didn't think he made a whole lot of plays on defense on the games that I watched. Maybe there's other games where he made a bunch of plays. I know that his stat line that I was given was pretty impressive. But in the games, I watched two of his games, full games. And I didn't see the playmaking. There was hardly actually any stats for me to to count when I was doing it. So with that said, I like the idea of trying another position to see if that size and athleticism translates, because I think he has a home somewhere on the roster. I just didn't think it was going to be a defensive line.
There you have it.
What do you think? You know more. You have the team perspective, where I have really my perspective kind of ends after he enrolled.
Well, there's an issue at center because Ty Murray was the kind of the assumed backup, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not on the team anymore. Mm-hmm. So they've been having to kind of fill this role with people who weren't recruited to play center. Quarion Johnson, I think, is the backup center. And he's a walk-on who has now earned a scholarship. And
is he on scholarship for
the scholarship for the spring and summer? And okay. I guess they'll figure that out in the fall.
Gotcha. Okay.
On scholarship. But I mean, he is one of the top seven or eight offensive linemen. So, and he's good. I mean, he started one game at center last year, so he's fine. But, and then behind him, I think it's Jonathan Adorno, who they probably like better at guard, I imagine, because he's a big time. I think he'll be a big time lineman. They mm-hmm. probably want him out there at guard, more athletic. So it's really been an issue of center recruiting. And Ty Murray, you know, and before him, your boy Tommy Hatton, just some issues with people staying on the team, and that's affected. I mean, who would have thought Brian Anderson? I love Brian Anderson. I don't know if we thought he was going to be a 3 or 4 year starter.
No, I don't think so.
But he's great. I think he's a great locker room guy. I think he's a great leader. He shows up and he plays, and he's pretty steady. He's going to be better this year than he was last year, and he was pretty good last year.
Yeah, I love dealing with him as a recruit. Super nice kid.
Yeah, me too. I think I scooped you for his recruitment.
I don't think so, but go ahead. Read your go ahead. Brother.
Go ahead. All right, Preston from Greensboro. And I know you want me to read this because his final line is
Your brother always has something in there that's very controversial, and I'd rather you say it than me.
I'm not going to read his last line. All right, 5, freshman progression.
Oh, it's not that bad. It's not nearly as bad as some of the prior ones.
For anyone listening to this, this is Don
This is a disclaimer. If you have I don't think it's really enough for young ears to turn it off.
Okay.
But, all right, if you are really, really sensitive to – what is this? Jokes? I don't even know. This is it's really not that bad. I think it'll be all right.
Yeah. All right. 5, freshman progression. 4, the battle for backup QB. 3, the running back battle. 2, injuries and hopefully lack of injuries. And 1, how many young women will get to see a butterfly tattoo? I don't know. What's that even mean?
Because you had disclosed to our listeners maybe it was the last podcast, maybe it was before that last podcast, that you had gotten a butterfly tattoo in close to your no-no area.
I did not say that.
You did.
Right, we're moving on. Hey, we're going to get in trouble. I'm ending this conversation right now.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay, do you want to give your top 5 spring storylines, or you just want to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, you want to talk about it? Because, I mean, I threw out some stuff, and it's a lot of what was said already, but...
Yeah, well, I'll just give mine, and if you have any questions, you can ask me, and then we'll wrap this up. How about that?
Sounds good.
Okay, so, I mean, everything that I have has been said. I'll just give my thoughts. I think who produces at running back and wide receiver is... I don't think it's a concern. I think it'd be interesting to see who does. I think Josh Downs is going to be the top... you know, yard catch guy, yard guy, touchdown guy, a wide receiver. Behind him, I think Josh Downs showed what he can do, and everything we've heard is he's an excellent wide receiver. He'll step right in and give you what Daz Newsome gave you and see if not more. And then Choffrey Brown, you know, he's hurt. He's shown he can make plays. He did last year.
What's the extent of his injury? Because that's one of my questions.
He'll be back this summer.
Okay. All right.
He'll
so
be good to go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We were told that a couple weeks ago. Apparently he's faster than Diami, but Diami was strong, had great hands, and was a great deep threat for Sam Howell. So we need to see what happens there. But they have guys, and Bo Kraus has proven. I think Antoine Green has shown flashes. It's a big year for him. You got some young guys like Steven Gosnell. I think Emory Sivens is proven. So I think I'm not too worried about wide receiver. As long as they have a deep threat that can kind of do what Diami Brown did. I mean, maybe you have 2 guys that combine to kind of be that deep threat. I think the wide receiver group will be good because you know you have that. You know you have Josh Downs. You know you have Bo Corrales. You know you have Garrett Walston, who is going to be, I think, way more involved in the offense this year. I know we say that every year, but I mean, this is his fifth year. And he'll definitely be a security blanket, as I like to say. All right, running back. I mean, Ty Chandler should step in. I'm going to say this. The running back group this year, 2021, will not be even close to what they were in 2020 with Carter and Javonte. I think the combination of Carter and Javonte was kind of a once in a 10-15 year type running back group for UNC. Both those guys are going to go in the top three rounds in the NFL draft. I don't think anybody on the roster has that talent. We'll see what Ty Chandler can do. I think he's solid. And then whether Caleb Hood or DJ Jones, or even I think Josh Henderson is kind of maybe stepped up a little bit this spring. But I just don't think we have that playmaker on the team right now that can just break off a 15-yard run like very regularly like Javonte and Carter could do. I feel good about the O-line. I don't think that's really a storyline. I think they're solid. I mean, whether they maybe step up a little bit, that's going to be huge to protect Sam and to protect and to open up holes for the running back. So I'm not really concerned there. I think D-line's a storyline. Like, can this group become a elite defensive line? They have all the bodies, you know, they have a lot more experience now. They have tons of talent. Can they kind of put it all together and really put pressure on the quarterback, really stop the run? It's a big year for guys like Vohasek, Tamari Fox. Yeah, sorry. There's like Tamari and then Tyrone Hopper. Tamari Fox. I think Miles Murphy has taken a big step. And there's just guys behind them. We're talking about KJ Hester, Christian Varner, your boy Clyde Pinder Jr. And then we're hearing great things about Keyshawn Silver and Javari Ritzy, who I think at least one of those guys is going to play, you know, 20 to 30 snaps, if not more. So I think all the bodies are there. Just putting it together will be interesting to watch. I think linebackers are going to be solid. I'm not really concerned there. I think forcing more turnovers is kind of an interesting thing to look at. Can they kind of become a playmaking defense where they get tackles for loss regularly and turn the ball over to just really help the offense out? That's something they haven't done yet. I think being a difference maker on special teams is a storyline. They haven't – special teams has been average. I think it's fair to say been average since Mack Brown's come back. Not much on the return game. So I'm wondering, even without Michael Carter, Daz Newsome, if they can put someone back there, they can make some plays. That would be big too. I think that's about it. I mean, backup quarterback is interesting, but that's more for 2022, I guess. You know, who kind of steps up to be Sam Howell's successor, whether it's Drake May or Jacoby Criswell. That's kind of the impact of the backup quarterback position. I mean, that's going to be super intriguing of where Mack Brown and Phil Longo go after Sam Howell, because that determines kind of who the starter is going to be the next 3 or 4 years. Don?
Yeah, along those lines, my one, I guess, storyline that wasn't mentioned was keeping the QBs happy. And what I mean by that is that we're in a world where, you know, if the QBs are very prone to transfer out very quickly. And yeah. So you almost, I think Drake, you know, he's a freshman, so you don't have to worry too much about him right now. And then also he's a legacy kid and all that. But obviously Cresswell, you know these guys better than I do at this point because you're around them a lot more. You hear a lot more. But in generally speaking, you know, if the backup quarterback kind of feels that a player underneath of him could leap him on the depth chart, then that could prompt him to transfer, which is what you don't want to do, because who knows what happens this season as far as, you know, injuries and all that sort of stuff. UNC has been fortunate that Sam Howell hasn't missed any time with injuries, but if he does, it's going to change a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think Criswell will be the backup. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like Drake, unless Drake takes huge strides in the summer. So then you'll have a competition next spring, and that's where it really goes down. Because at that point, Drake will have enough reps. Well, he'll be caught up mentally to compete with Criswell. And then it's just who wins out. And if Drake wins, you could definitely see Jacoby transfer out. But Jacoby's a great – I mean, he's a good kid, and he's got a good head on his shoulder, so it won't be some irrational decision. But and we're thinking years ahead about – we're predicting guys transferring. But if Jacoby wins, which is – it could happen – you got a situation where you might have another competition the next year, or it could be like a mid-season type situation where if one guy's not getting it done, they're going to have some options there. It'll be interesting. And this also impacts recruiting. quarterback recruiting. As you know, we didn't mention the one quarterback coming to the spring game. Do you want to mention that?
We don't want to mention that. You could read it in the scoop. There's a couple. Yeah. I have a thought. Okay. And again, I'm not focused on this stuff. I read your and Greg's scoops from the scrimmages. I definitely don't read everything you guys post. You guys do a great job, but I just don't have the time to read it.
I'll read everything you post.
Whoa.
Yeah. If I see some like 2023 kid.
Oh man, that's a heartbreaker right there. But anyway, my feeling, and I feel like I'm basically like the fans are as far as like information. I feel like I am on the outside when it comes to the team with a lot of stuff. I mean, I hear things, but anyway, my feeling is that this team is probably going to be led by the defense, mostly because you have so many starters coming back on defense. And then you have guys who were injured last year who are coming back. UNC's in situations where you have like, what is it, three or four really good cornerbacks who have a lot of playing time, who at your disposal have a lot of different positions. You have an influx of talent also from the past two classes on defense, which I think will make the defense really good. On offense though, you kind of mentioned this and we talked about there's last year, the teams that beat North Carolina were able to shut down the running game, Notre Dame in particular. And so right now we don't know what that running game looks like exactly. We have an idea. Also, I think one of the keys to North Carolina's offense that kind of opens things up is the deep threat. And then this is not like a guarantee thing, but in games that Sam was not able to hit the deep ball, the offense struggled a little bit. And as you mentioned, we don't know who the deep threat's going to be. I feel like those two things are going to make the team as a whole rely more on the defense, and that could be what determines wins and losses. Your thoughts on my – am I off
You got Sam Howell, quarterback. I don't think it's going to be led by the defense. You got the best quarterback in the nation.
Okay.
So, I mean, in a Heisman campaign. So, I think it's going to be Sam Howell's show. And with – I think there's, like I said, plenty of wide receivers and a good offensive line that's going to protect him, I think. I think it's going to be Sam Howell's show, how many points they can put up. And I think to kind of hedge on your point, the defense is what's going to allow this team to win the games they wouldn't have won last year, because they're going to be better. You know, they're going to be improved. They have a lot, like you said, a lot of depth now, a lot of players stepping up, a lot more experience. They only lost Chad Surratt. That's it. Lost Chad Surratt. So as long as they're healthy, Tamari Fox has missed the spring. So, yeah, I think the defense is what's going to allow this team to really win the games they haven't won in the past 2 years. But they're going to be able to put some points up as long as that running game is anywhere close to where it was last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I expected a great response, and I got one.
Sam Howell Heisman campaign. I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how realistic do you feel like that is? I mean, there's going to be a campaign. How realistic do you feel
usually like the answer? The guys who lead in the summer, the names in the summer, usually aren't the ones that win it, because there's some player that comes out of nowhere. Yeah. Last year was a perfect example with the Alabama wide receiver.
Well, because what happens is that these guys get picked apart, and if they have one bad game or they don't – I mean, even Trevor Lawrence is a great example. I mean, he's probably one of the best quarterbacks that have come out in a very long time, and he just was always picked apart for every little thing, even though, you know, I don't have to go through.
Surprised Trevor Lawrence never won the Heisman.
Yeah.
And you have to have a team that – is in the top 10, 15, yes, pretty much the whole year.
Yeah.
So one early loss really sets you back. You can kind of get back in it. And then, you know, two losses, especially if you're out of kind of the ACC contention, then you're really down with the Heisman contention. But if you have some big games and you got to pad the stats, you got to have that. Notre Dame is a great national television opportunity.
Well, you need that Heisman moment. And there used to be this saying, I don't think it's true anymore, but there used to be a saying where you win the Heisman either by playing against Notre Dame or playing for Notre Dame. That's more probably a 90s or 80s sort of saying. But
yeah, but this year they don't have Clemson. The biggest game, sorry, I'm dealing with some court issues here. The biggest game is the Clemson game. The Notre Dame game. And then they play Virginia Tech the first game of the season. And the Miami game will probably be pretty big too. So, yeah, I mean, I'm pumped to cover it. I'd love to go to New York if they have a ceremony up there.
You think that they would send you?
I mean, Inside Carolina is really good about sending people to stuff.
They are. Very good.
They send you to go check on, like, a freaking eighth grader in you know, random places? Do you think it would send me to go cover a freaking Heisman?
Well, most of my stuff is fairly regional or at least in state, but yeah, I'm not going to see an eighth grader in South Carolina, maybe in North Carolina.
Yeah,
you know, so
all right,
you know that UNC offered a 2025 prospect.
Good.
From well, he's from the Tidewater area, but he plays at St. Francis. Is that crazy?
Cool. Yeah. All right, cool. Awesome stuff there, Don. Good podcast here. We always say we don't have enough to talk about, and we just chat away for hours on hours because you're my best friend.
That's right. Best friends for life.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening
for
to Scoop.
Life.
Thanks for listening to Scoop, brought to you by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps us, and we will check you next time. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.